Okay, all right. Galatians chapter 5. We have worked our way down to the walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh type of thing that we're down to. We're talking about Christian liberty, liberty or bondage. And the Bible tells us that we ought to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, there's a couple of different kinds of yokes of bondage that the Bible's talking about. Give me one of them. One of the yokes of bondage that people are sometimes under.
Slavery.
The what?
Slavery.
Well, slavery, physical bondage, yeah.
Sin.
Yeah. What, Randy?
Sin.
The bondage of sin.
Depression. Guilt.
Depression, guilt, the law. The Old Testament law created a lot of bondage. It wasn't designed to. It was designed to show us where freedom was and point us in the right direction. The schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And we think, well, man, nobody got to come to Christ until the New Testament. Wrong. People were coming to Christ since Adam. Just because you're looking back to it and they were looking forward to it doesn't mean it's not the same Christ. And he showed up in the Old Testament. You realize he's all over the Old Testament? You study that. You find out who Melchizedek was, you're going to find out where Christ was hanging out. Because that's who he is. A lot of wonderful things. Now, so how are we going to deal with the bondage of the law, the Old Testament law? Well, that's pretty simple. We're not under the law. We're in Christ. Now, does that mean the Old Testament law is just not important?
No.
How's it important still if we're not under it?
It shows us our sin.
Shows us our sin. All the laws are based on a righteous principle. Come on in. Oh, okay. No, she's counting. Thought she was knocking on the door and she was counting. So, the law is still good. It's still a guide. It still teaches us wonderful things. But thank God we are not subject to the penalty of the law anymore. We're in Christ. So what else? So how are we going to deal with the other bondage, the sin thing? Randy said talked about the bondage of sin. Somebody described the bondage of sin to me. Is that the same for everybody?
No. It's your besetting sin.
Your besetting sin is very much like a master over you, is it not? Sin in general. You ever made it through a day without sinning?
No.
I've met people that said they have.
I don't recall.
I was sick and knocked out.
I met a guy who said that he had never, that he made it through a day without sinning, and it was that day, and then he lied to me by saying that, so he didn't. Anyway. Messed it all up. If it was working, he messed it up. But I can't say that I've ever made it through a day without messing up somewhere. I just don't think I ever have. I sure cannot remember a day. I read my Bible one year without ever missing a day, but I've never made it through a day without missing the mark. Wow, that's kind of sad when you get down to it, isn't it? That's just kind of sad. You know, I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna just set a goal, and if I'll just maybe take some sleeping pills and sleep all day long. That's a guaranteed way not to have a bad morning is to sleep till noon, right? Anyway, not good advice. Lisa.
You might miss the mark if you aim for perfection, but God says we can't be perfect anyway. So his example to us is excellence.
Yeah.
Not perfection.
Yeah.
We can aim
the one thing I can do is not is not let sin keep me out of fellowship with God. God says, if you will confess your sin, this is only to believers, it's not to lost people. I've heard preachers preach this and tell people to do this to get saved. And I thought, what Bible are you reading, mister? What are you doing? You're taking verses of Scripture that are only applied to people who are born again, and you're just messing up the whole thing. And so, but God to his children tells us that if we acknowledge, that's what confess means, our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural, and cleanse us from what?
All
unrighteousness. The spirit's clean, but the flesh needs to catch up here. And that's what's going on with that fellowship issue. Okay. So Galatians chapter 5. Paul says down here in, let me start with verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, and that's not literal, by the way, that's figurative, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he gives us a list. And then verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. And he gives us another list. And then he goes down to verse 25 and says, if we live in the Spirit, if you're in Christ, do you live in the Spirit? Is your spirit alive?
Yes.
Which was dead in trespasses and sin. You see what he's talking about here. If you're in Christ, you live in the Spirit. He says, then let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to talk about this walking thing. Walking in the Spirit, or walking, what's the other part? What's the other choice? Walking in the flesh. Well, you're obviously in the flesh, and so if you're walking, you're walking
in the flesh.
But that's not what it's talking about, is it? When it says walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh, what's the walking thing about? Is that literal? Is that figurative? What's it mean?
The way you conduct yourself.
It's your conduct. It's the way you conduct yourself. Walking in the Spirit. What's in the Spirit mean?
Jesus Christ.
In fellowship with the Lord.
In this context of Scripture, what's... All right, it's conducting yourself...
by the Spirit, not
flesh. In a righteous manner.
In a righteous manner. That's who tells us what a righteous manner is?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Did he write it down?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. It's in the Word of God.
Yes.
He wrote the Word of God. The Holy Spirit dictated it. The secretaries pinned it down, but the Holy Spirit's the author of the book. You see, so walking in the Spirit means conducting yourself according to what the Spirit of God says is the righteous and the right way to do it. How do you normally conduct yourself?
On feelings.
On what?
Feelings.
On feelings.
Follow your heart and do what your gut tells you to do.
How often do your feelings disagree with the Spirit of God?
Frequently.
Frequently. Give me an example of feeling like this is the thing to do, and this is what we should do, and this is right, and I feel good about this, and maybe not be in agreement with the Spirit of God. Anybody?
Well, you could say, like, I'm tired today, I don't feel like, you know, going to church, or I don't, you know, I deserve to, you know, stay
I deserve in, a day
and
off,
you know,
and
I need to have my day off, and
and I feel like, and God will understand, and right, you always say, you got to say that to yourself too. Well, I know the Lord will understand. Yeah, let me tell you something. The Lord understands. Yes, he does. And he wrote his understanding down. What did he write? What did he write in his word that is the Holy Spirit's opinion based on what Marcella just said?
Forsake
not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is.
I've done that before, though. There was one morning, like a few years ago, I was like, I am exhausted, I'm just not going to go, and I'm going to go back to sleep, and Timmy, just go ahead. And I lay there, and I could not go back to sleep. I was wide awake, and it was just, you need to get up and get ready. You better. And I did. I was late, but I made it.
But see, we justify ourselves all the time with our feelings and what we think. And what about those things that we can't even feel good about? So instead of trying to justify it in our minds and our hearts with our feelings, we just kind of refuse to think about it and just go on anyway. Am I the only person that's ever done that?
No.
Could you repeat that again? I'm not sure.
I said, what about those things that we can't, there's no way we could possibly justify it by our feelings because it's so blatantly not what God wants. And so then we just decide we just won't think about it and just go on and do it anyway. If you don't say it to yourself, it's like, well, you know, oh, I forgot all about that. You know, you could just kind of like, you know, you're going to have some excuse for it later. I'm the only person that's ever thought like this. I'm not the only person that's ever thought like this. No, I'm not. We're all the same. I'm sorry to say. Well, I guess I am, but I'll tell you, I am not sorry to say we're all going to be the same when we get our new bodies. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, isn't it going to be good to be rid of this mess?
Amen.
And all of that conflict, constant, please, all gone. A body and a mind that agrees perfectly with the Spirit 100% of the time, no conflict, and has all the strength necessary to live according to the Spirit of God all the time. And then there'd never be a day that we did sin. Just like now, there's never been a day that we didn't. Wow, that day's coming. That day's coming. When do you have the most joy? When you are worshiping, serving, and praising and enjoying the fellowship of the Lord, or when you're off dallying in sin? When do you have the most joy?
A no-brainer.
Well, you know, you'd think it was a no-brainer, but do we live like it's a no-brainer?
Sometimes the sin feels good.
Yeah, well, sin for a season. God says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Those seasons are really short, so. Wes, go ahead.
For 31 years, I played in honky-tonks and bars and because, you know, I love music and I love singing and I played in those places and never had any joy. And when I walked away from that and I turned my life over to the Lord, that was the first time I had joy in praising and worshiping. And then, I just swelled up with joy.
Is it still fun to play "The Devil Went Down to Georgia" and stamp your feet and clap your hands and is that fun? Does the flesh still like that stuff?
Well, sometimes at the beginning of praise team rehearsal, we hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, sometimes every once in a while it'll just blurt right out there, you know, just, what is that doing going on in here?
There is no such thing as gospel music. There's gospel lyrics, and there's also, you know, those other things which are just...
Well, it is fun to, you know...
You can't blame the music.
It was a great change in me when I got saved, and so I just figure sometimes it's cool to see a song get saved.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
Bunch of them out there really need to get saved. they are in the depths of the pit, I'll tell you that, some of them. So let's talk about this walking thing. It says... This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, you're a believer, right?
Yes.
you trusted the Lord, and you know you're saved, and you know you trusted Him. You remember it, and you got God's word on it. He says you are. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay. All right. If that's true, if that be true, do you want to fulfill the lust of your flesh? Is that your desire?
No way.
Not after walking in the Spirit.
I think the more that you walk in the Spirit and the closer you get,
is it your? Do you want to just fulfill your flesh and do what your flesh wants?
No.
No, you don't. Your flesh wants what it wants.
That second piece of cake.
But there's a new person inside you. Leave me alone. About some second piece of cake. I know I've gained a bunch of my weight back. Shut up. How did I know he was talking about me?
My birthday last week. But.
All right.
How do you know he was? Are you just feeling guilty?
Yeah.
I'm not just feeling guilty. I am guilty.
Myself.
Man. Messed up my whole train of thought. My train of thought derailed here. All right. So do we want to fulfill the lust of the flesh? No, we don't. Not the real you. The real you is the one that's going to leave this place behind.
Amen.
And go on to be with the Lord. And the real you is alive if you're born again. Amen?
Amen.
So we don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how can we achieve any of that? Now, I know you're not going to get it perfect. But you know how we are, and sometimes guys are real bad about this. You know, it's kind of a man way of thinking thing. Well, if I can't get the whole thing, I just don't want any.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you something. That didn't work. I told you it was a guy thing.
Look at the Apostle Paul.
Wait till you have about four little kids and they all say that and think that way. If I can't just be perfect, I'll just be bad as I want to. No. I'm sorry. I was wrong about that. Yeah.
You can be good at being bad?
No. Well, that's most of us are. Pretty good at being bad. So how then are you going to have any of those victories? And by the way, it's not about being perfect. It's about growing. It's about more victories. Growing. Getting some of this garbage out of our life. How are you going to do that? How do you quit fulfilling what your flesh wants to do? Gilbert, and then Tim, and then Glenda.
Biblically, by the washing and regenerating of the Spirit by the Word of God.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. But how many of you have ever been reading your Bible and praying and right in the middle of it sinned against the Lord right here? So that by itself doesn't get it done. Now that's a good start, all right, but that doesn't get it done. Tim?
A continual renewing of your mind.
Well, that's what Gilbert said. That's what he's talking about. The continue. But how many times have you been in the process of renewing your mind from the Word of God and right in the middle of it? Boom. Lord, how could I possibly be thinking of this?
Yeah.
And then you got to stop and confess your sin and then try to get your head back. Glenn,
well, I feel
you're
a
next.
Lot better since he brought that up. I don't know about y'all. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm not.
The only one.
I know, but when it happens,
I'm sorry.
They only knew.
I really didn't mean to be a feel good preacher this morning.
Well, you're doing a good job. Thank you. I knew I was supposed to be here.
For sure.
Praise right. Jesus, everybody. Praise Jesus.
All right, Glenda, go ahead.
I was going to say turn the TV off and get in the Word.
All right, turn the TV off and get in the Word.
Get the devil out of there.
And you've done that, and still.
And still.
It showed up. Lisa's next.
I listened to Charles Stanley for a couple hours before church home, getting ready in the mornings, and this morning he was talking about, or his son was talking to him about that wherever they moved, he always had a place where he could go pray. And I've been telling Pastor since we sold our big house we raised the kids in. And in 07 we sold it. And we have this big bed frame he made out of cedar logs. It's huge. And we always knelt at the foot of that bed and prayed right there because we could pick ourselves up off the footboard and everything. It was just real. It's a good prayer place. And we haven't been using that in the apartment because it's in storage. Anyway, so I I was listening to this conversation about having his place to pray and getting on his face, and how his son would walk in sometimes and his dad would be prone on the floor on his face. And I've walked in on Pastor like that before too, when he's getting ready to study and get his message. And I thought, man, how long has it been since I did that? And I was like all ready to go. And so I just laid out on the floor. And my first thought was, gosh, this feels good. And then this feels good, Lord. And then my second thought was, oh my God, what if I fall asleep? I kind of turned because I was afraid I'd fall asleep.
See how we are? See how we're made?
See how we are?
This is reality we're talking about here. Now, so what does God say is the way that we do not, or that we negate the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh? He said it. It's written right here.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit. What is the walk? It's your conduct. It's what you're doing. The Bible says when we're doing, active, in the middle of it, involved in it, practicing it, what God says to do, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh when we're doing that. Why is it that since class began and the discussion has been good and it's bouncing around and it's interesting and your attention level is up, you just haven't wandered off too bad? Well, except for Tim. Why is that? It's because what we're doing is walking in the Spirit. This is what we're doing. We're discussing and learning and involved, not just in learning about the Word of God, but we're actively participating. We're having fellowship with each other and with the Lord and with the Father around the Word of God, and we're practicing and learning what we're doing. You're not just sitting there soaking it up. You're giving it back. And you're thinking about what you might be able to say next, I assume. And some of you do it without thinking about what you're going to say next, obviously. But anyway, isn't it different? What happens when people get saved and they start coming to church, and then when they're here, life is so much different than it is while they're on the other side of the doors? And I've had young believers say to me, can't we just stay here? Well, what are they saying? What are they crying? They're crying out that, wow, man, it's just so wonderful to be here where we're involved in it and we're lifting up praises and the music is and the preaching and the teaching and the kids are going nuts and they're learning about Jesus and then we walk out there and it's like, well, you can't walk in the Spirit out there. You can only do it in here. But that's a lie, because we can walk in the Spirit out there. You can't do it without effort. It in here, you don't have to work at it, right? In here, you just show up and it just kind of... I tell you what it's a lot like. It's a lot like dating and then the marriage.
Yeah. I'd like to hear more about that. I'm not clear.
When you're dating.
Don't dig. Quit digging.
When you're dating, you just don't have to work at it. You just.
It's coming back.
The love just flows and it just happens all by itself and it just carries you along and you don't have to work at it. You just.
Were you like that?
And then you get married. And by the way, this is the proper way that this is to be done, not the other way like so many people are doing it now. Truth is never going to be anything but the truth. And deception is never going to be anything but deception. It's still going to be what God says it is. And right is still right and wrong is still wrong. With that said, then after you get married for a while, maybe 6 months or a year, and you know, ever heard the term the honeymoon's over? Well, after the honeymoon is over, all of a sudden this doesn't always flow all the time. At times, yeah, but there's bills to pay and debts to deal with and
disagreements and how to take care of the kids.
Yeah, and all this garbage starts showing up, and what happened to the easy flowing, never have to work at it, lovey dovey, wonderful, kissy, all that? Now it's different. You got to work at it. Well, that's kind of like the way it is in here versus out there. Out there, you're going to have to plan for it. You know, like in marriage, you have to set up a date night and plan to have time aside that's not discussing the children and their problems and the work and their problems and the conflicts here and there and all the other problems. You got to set those times aside. And the Bible says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't plan to go to all the same places and do all the same things that your flesh always wanted you to do and go to. You have to go on purpose to different places that don't pull you into that downward spiral of fleshly lust.
Come from among them.
You have to plan for it. You have to think ahead. You have to work at it. Walking in the Spirit is the only thing that will replace fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is what we do. Reading your Bible, as important as that is, and praying, as important as that is, don't go all that far in putting a roadblock on your flesh. You're only going to read your Bible, and you're only going to... Yeah, you ought to read it a lot, and you ought to read it and do enough that it keeps you from it. But you're not going to, are you?
No.
No, you're not. You're going to read it so much, and your eyes are going to start fuzzing up a little bit. Okay, I read my Bible today. I got my three verses in.
Three verses?
Well, we justify ourselves, don't we? I read it. That's why we have a limit of 10. If you don't do 10, you don't get to say, I read it. You got to do 10. And that's only like priming the pump a little bit.
We did 5 chapters a night.
All right. Bragging or complaining? What is it? I don't know. I don't know which that is. But there is not going to be victory on the other side of the walls of this building until you, on purpose, arrange your life to stay out of the places that take you down and put you in the places that lift you up.
I think of that at this time, inject that to Isaiah in there, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's where this all originated. We really do keep our mind on what the Holy Spirit is telling us.
Now let me give you another one to add to that. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established.
Yeah,
see, you can't think about two things at once, even though you really try. Now you can jump back and forth.
Yeah,
that's called multitasking. But you can only think about one at a time. And when you're doing what you're doing, and it requires your attention, guess what? You're not doing. See how it works? This is how we have those victories. This is how we walk in the flesh. And how we walk in the Spirit. We are doing what the Spirit wants, or we're doing what the flesh wants. You realize we're always doing one of those? I mean, we're busy little fellas. We're always doing one of those. In here or whatever. We're always in the middle of one of those. And you have to use the mind and listen to God. See, it's nice to read your Bible, but if you don't do this and apply what you read in the Bible, you're still right back where you were. Okay. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Verse 17.
Yes.
What's lust?
Desire.
Yeah, lust is a bad word, right? We always think of lust must be a bad word. Well, there's no such thing as a bad... I mean, I'm going to regret having saying this, but there's actually no such thing as a bad word. Words are just words. The word lust means what? Desire.
Desire.
Are all desires bad?
No.
No. No, not all of them. The flesh desires against the spirit.
Amen.
And the spirit, it doesn't say the word lust, but it means it. And the spirit against, or lust against, desires against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, wait, what's that? You can't do the things that you would. Did anybody in the Bible ever talk like that?
Yep.
Who was it?
I mean, Paul.
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 He said, that I want to do, I don't do.
Yeah, right.
Do you do things you don't want to do?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you like insane or what?
The devil made me do it.
You and Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. You younger people don't even know who that is.
Geraldine.
All right, how many of you do not know who Flip Wilson is?
Who?
Look at these babies out here.
There ain't no owl in here.
He's a very famous black comedian that was big about the time Carol Burnett was on TV.
Yeah.
And I suppose you don't know who Carol Burnett is, either.
Who?
Well, they've dated the rest of us, haven't they? No, the devil doesn't really have to work very hard at making you do anything. He gets so much credit for what our flesh does on its own, completely on its own. And so that you cannot do the things you would. You have to realize that you are a triune being. You are a body, which is your flesh, which is totally opposed to God. And when your spirit is dead in sins, which is the condition of the human being before salvation, guess what that leaves? You entirely are totally opposed to God. You say, how can you say that about me? I grew up in church and I was a nice kid and I did all these wonderful things and I did all that. And yes, you were totally opposed to God.
I spent a lot of time in a garage, but I've never become a car.
Wow.
Okay.
Can't teach that. Can't teach that.
Okay. Everybody's kind of thinking ahead here. But train jumps track again. I have no idea what. What I say last?
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake. No. Mine's bread pudding. I have chocolate cake. That's Lisa's pet sin. Mine is that bread pudding with that vanilla sauce. The real. Oh, no.
Okay, so now we're really off track.
There we are. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You are body, soul, and spirit here. The soul equates what you would more fully to what you would call the mind. Sometimes that word translated soul is in the Bible is talking about the spirit, in a King James Version and others. So it's a little confusing, but you have to get in, look up the words, and see which aspect of the real person you're talking about. Which part of all of this that you make you up is the real you, the permanent you? Do we understand that?
You feed the most is the one that.
Amen.
But the spirit, the spiritual you,
the id,
is the real you.
But most people, a lot of
the body's gonna.
A lot of people don't make it there.
The thing, and I shared this a little bit with some people going by the casket last day before yesterday. Was
Friday.
That Saturday?
Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, I said, you know, one of the most important things about a funeral is that when you walk to this casket and you look down, the most obvious thing in the world is that Bill, that's who the guy was, is not there. It's very obvious. Even to little kids, they know that Papa's not there. They're not over there trying to hug on the body or things. And sometimes people get a little messed up and don't really realize what's going on, but it's pretty obvious that Bill's not there. His old house, his old shell is left behind, but he's not in there. And that's a good thing. We really realize that he's gone.
Yes.
Now, where he's gone depends on what he did with Jesus Christ. And I have a lot more to say about that in the sermon coming up. But, Natalie.
And how strange it is when somebody has passed away, how different their shell looks when they're really there. I mean, I know death and the embalming and whatever, but, you know, just the fact that their spirit is gone, their shell doesn't even look like the same, you know, because the soul is gone.
It's just basically your flesh was corrupt, your spirit, if you're born again, is not. And some of the most learned Bible scholars I know still do not understand the most basic principle in the Bible about what God does with our spirit when he saves us. Even though the Bible's very clear on it. The Bible says that the spirit, the new man, it's called the spirit man, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, that means the spirit is clean. There's no sin going on with the spirit. John says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot, not will not or should not, but cannot sin.
That's right.
Because he is born of God. Now, he just got through saying in chapter 2, if the man says he has no sin, he's a liar. Or rather, in chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does that reconcile? Well, there's only one way. He's talking about the inner man, the spirit.
So the flesh is the only thing.
The flesh is what we're dealing with. Why do you think that since the day you trusted Christ, when you sin on purpose, you're in the wrong place, you're not doing what you should do, you're never easy about it. You never have that ease inside that you didn't have to worry about before.
It's heavy.
But it's there now.
Yes.
And it's because of the clean spirit that's kicking and fighting against it, because the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh is lusts against the spirit. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you, inner person, cannot do the things that you, inner person, would. You end up doing what the outer person, the old man, wants to instead. Do we understand? How can you live a life that is going to result in victory over this old flesh if you don't understand how you work? Well, I'm just not going to sin. I'm just not going to sin. I'm just, oh, there I go again. I'm just. The more you try to not commit a sin. What are you thinking about when you're trying to not commit a sin? What are you thinking about?
And you focus on it.
And you focus on it. And where does that take you? You become what you think about. You practice what you think about. And the only way to not practice the lust of the flesh is to be thinking about and involved in and active in and doing what the Spirit of God has written for you to do.
Amen.
The Bible gives us New Testament commands. 1 John talks about keeping his commandments. Not talking about the law, talking about the New Testament commands. You know, get baptized, become part of the church. Get involved in work. Get involved in ministry. Use your gifts for the Lord. Give God everything you've got. Build up the body, which is the church. You are an integral, living, breathing part of it. You realize this is your vocation now? Lighthouse Baptist Church is my vocation. Not just because I'm the pastor. It was my vocation before I was a pastor. And it's your vocation now. Whatever you have to do out there to pay expenses in your life, that's one thing. This is your vocation, people. This is what we live for. This is what we die for, if necessary. We talked about freedom. This is where real freedom lies.
Amen.
In God, in God's house. Pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time again. Randy, go ahead.
I got one quick thing that helps me out during the day. I can't remember what it is in there, but I work my job to where I work it for God, not for me, not for my boss, but I work is that because I do all things through Him. This is how I work my job. Everything's got to be perfect. Conduit's got to be level. Wire's got to be perfect because I'm trying to please God, because He gave me the ability to do this. I don't do it for me or the guy I work for, but that helps. I get through 10 hours a day outside this building that every time I'm working, I want it to be perfect. It's got to be exactly perfect because I'm trying to please God, not anybody else.
Do it as to the Lord, not as to the Lord.
That's how I get through 10 hours out there.
I think it's infeasible.
It could be. I'm still learning. I'm on the milk.
That's how we've been running a construction business without advertising for over 25 years.
Exactly.
You do it the best you got. And we don't do perfect work. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do good work. We're going to give it the best we can do. And Mike, how that works. Cool. All right. It's been a fun class today.
It has been.
You weren't thinking about sinning for most of the time.
I just put the weather out there.
No, that chocolate cake kept
me. That chocolate cake got you, huh? Lisa.
If anybody finds an inhaler, it's mine. I lost it a couple of days ago. I really need it.
And it won't get you high, so don't waste your time.
There it is.
Said the man who won't even take a pain pill because it makes him feel weird. So.
Man. I get high, all right, but I get high on the Lord. I get high when I come in here. And,
sure it's not the coffee?
Yeah, for sure. Because I drink a lot of coffee out there, and it's not the same. Isn't it wonderful how, and don't get me that I think we've arrived because we're far from it, but isn't it wonderful how that we as a church are loosening up and getting to where we can praise the Lord more? Mm-hmm. And we're not so inhibited by old ideas and old... I tell you what, God's people in churches when I was a little baby, 100 years ago, I guess. Anyway, preacher would preach, and there would be shouting and hallelujahs and amen and all kinds of stuff going on. All lifted up to the Lord. And then the charismatics got really popular. They started capitalizing on the music, and they started doing all the stuff that they do. And then God's people started backing away from making any noise or lifting any hands or, you know, because didn't want to be identified with somebody else who was doing off the left field over here. And that culturally among the Lord's churches became, in my opinion, one of the greatest mistakes that has ever been propagated amongst God's people.
It's a stumbling stone.
We do not want to let someone's, what we think they might think of us, keep us from praising and glorifying our Lord.
Amen.
Tim brought out this morning that talking about the Longhorn fans. They came out painted up, orange all over, looked like, you know, they prepared, they went through all kinds of trouble to get ready for that game so they could come out there and make a lot of noise for their team. And, you know, he just pointed out that's the way we ought to act coming to worship the Lord. I've seen what y'all do at ball games, you know, some of you, and I know what happens when the team scores. And you know, when the Word of God goes forth and the Holy Spirit scores, you know what I'm talking about. You see Him do it. There ought to be that kind of reaction in God's people. Yes. And, you know, everybody's waiting for somebody else to start. Hey, be a leader. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I think it would be an honor to be the first one to lift up praise to the Lord when the Holy Spirit scores. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I think we have to look at it the other way.
Yeah.
I get to be first. All right. Enough said.